Let's take our Bibles and turn over to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. As we look in the Word of God, appreciate you being here today. As we get down to the Word of God in the book of Joshua, the theme of this entire book is conquering Canaan. And we're going to see a lot out of what happens when God commands a work to be done. Although human beings don't make it to get the work done, He still keeps the work going. And He intended for them to go into that promised land, He intended for them to go into it.
Right.
When God said, "I will," He did. And the book of Joshua picks up where Moses' death happens over in Deuteronomy chapter 34. And, of course, Joshua is the one that was ordained to take over in his place. And in this book, we got 24 chapters, 658 verses, and 18,854 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. This particular book is 11.03 grade level. And so is chapter 1. We know the Holy Spirit of God wrote this book by inspiration, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, "All scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." But we know Joshua's pen was the one put on the paper here, according to chapter 24, verse 15. Or verse 26, excuse me. Joshua chapter 24, verse 26. And as we get into Joshua chapter 1, we look at verse 1. And he tells them this: "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand therefore before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." As we look at this today and we look at these first five verses in chapter 1, I want us to look at today of the joys of Joshua. The joys of Joshua. He had a long road ahead of him, but he has got several joys that God gives him right here in these first five verses that's going to let him know that everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
I like that. That's Southern for it's going to work out fine for you.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here today and be alive. What a privilege, honor, and blessing it is to come to the house of God and be around the people of God today. And Lord, we know that you've got everything worked out, all the details, all the fine print's been read. And God, you've got it all taken care of. Our responsibility, Lord, is just to follow you and trust you. And Lord, as we look into this thing with Joshua today, Lord, show us that we have them same joys in our life and that, God, that you're going to take care of us. And Lord, we know that and we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake, amen. As we look today in this chapter, we see the Lord's message to Joshua in these first nine verses. And then Joshua turns around and gives the message to the people in verses 10 down to verse 18. But as we see the joys of Joshua and what it means for him to be this thing, we see God's help. First off, first joy is God's help in Joshua's loss. Do you know that it's not uncommon for people to face loss on this earth? Ever since the devil said, "God won't kill you, Eve. Take a bite." We've been experiencing loss ever since. It don't matter how strong somebody is. I know of a man, 35 years old, you couldn't pinch an inch of body fat on the guy. Just great shape, got up and run so many miles a day, worked out with weights and done all this stuff. 35 years old, heart attack and dead. The doctor said, "I never saw that coming." I've seen people live to be 50, 60, 70 years old and be overweight. And the doctors say, "You need to eat right. You need to be in shape." And they'll make 80.
Yeah.
Don't make sense. But then they do something too. They die too.
That's right.
And the doctor said, "I saw that one coming, by the way. I told them for 40 years it was coming." But I look in Joshua's life and I see he suffered loss. And if you'll notice his words, the words of God here in verse 1, it said, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying..." Now notice this. God's word was his comfort during his time of loss. You ever wonder why they print the 23rd Psalm on the back of these funeral things? There's a reason why. We're commanded by the Lord, and every Christian embalmer and every Christian funeral home says this. They know the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words," talking about the Bible. And every minister's manual written under the sun, when it comes time for funeral, they say this. Read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 58 to bring the family comfort. Read them 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for saved people, and let them know that there is a resurrection coming in which the dead in Christ shall rise, and they'll see their relatives again.
Right.
To bring what? Comfort.
Right.
I look at this thing and I'm reminded that in Psalm 77 verse 2 and 3 says, "In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah." Complaints from a born-again believer comes when our spirit's overwhelmed and we're not seeking comfort out of God's book. I notice he says here that we see that God starts talking to him and speaking to him, and that was the only comfort this man was going to have, was going to be from God, because he couldn't comfort himself. And God will introduce himself to you in salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, but he'll introduce to you himself as the Comforter and the Holy Spirit of God, in whom he seals you forever to the day of redemption, because that's what he's there for. He's not, listen, you don't have to turn to a bottle of alcohol, marijuana, pills, anything else for comfort. You already have the comfort living inside you that you'll ever need. My favorite thing in the world is somebody tell me, they say, "Well, I'm depressed and I don't know what to do, so I'm going to go drink." Hey, dummy, that's a depressant.
Yeah, right.
Just for the record, that's a depressant. Yeah. And so that's like saying, "Well, I'm already messed up, so I'm going to mess up even further." No, don't mess up. Turn to the Lord.
Right.
"Seek ye the Lord while it may be found." Yeah. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 18 says, "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me." You can't comfort yourself through things like this. People who say, "Well, I'm just going to go stay alone over here. I'm going to get off by myself and comfort myself." You'll never do it. You need comfort from heaven. God knew this about Joshua. He knew that the worst thing that ever happened to Joshua had just happened. So what was that? Moses died.
Yeah.
Can you imagine watching Moses for 40 years do all the stuff he did, put up with all the stuff he put up with, And have his own brother and sister turn against him and all that. And you've watched all that. You know God's using Moses. And then one day Moses has to go to heaven. But wait, you've been chosen to replace Moses. If I'm Joshua, you know what I'm saying? Why not Caleb, Lord? God gave him no explanation and Joshua didn't ask for one. If God would have intended for Caleb to take over that spot, this would have been the book of Caleb.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? God already knew Moses was going to die. How about that? And for those of you doubters that say he never went in the promised land, you are wrong. He died and didn't lead the people in the promised land. That was the catch. But he did make it. You check your Bible, Matthew chapter 17, see if Moses ain't standing on top of a mountain that's inside that promised land over there. And they knew who he was, and they knew who Elijah was, and Jesus was standing there with them.
Right.
But because he smoked that rock, instead of talking to it, he didn't get to lead the people in.
Right.
Don't get them things confused. So see, God promised him he'd be in that land one day. He just didn't get to lead the people into it.
Right.
So now Joshua's going to do that. And God's word was his comfort during the death of Moses. I've read in the Bible where several people died, and the only way they ever found comfort, one in particular was Isaiah. He said, when the king died, I saw the Lord.
Yeah.
Isaiah didn't get right with God until a death happened to him. He had been following that king and trusting in him and all this other stuff. And there are going to be times in our life when we trust others, and if they're following God, we'll follow their lead. What happens when God takes them to heaven? That's just you and God. I had a moment like that. They called me and said Dennis Carter died. I thought, oh no, my hero is dead. So what'd you do? I cried. I looked over at Jordan. He cried. And for the first time in my life, I thought, I have nobody to ask anything. Holy Ghost said, you got me. I kind of know how to do all this stuff too.
Right. Amen.
And I thought, Lord, you may be right. It might be that the Lord's right, you know. How about that? Hey, I hope I ain't your only guide to God, because God might take me out of the way so he can get to you.
Right.
Could it be? Well, preacher, I only believe the Bible, what you tell me about it. You better get in there and find out for yourself. You better read it for yourself and find out, because listen, it might come a time in which one of your joys is going to be God's help in the death of your pastor.
Right.
I know this morbid sounding, but it probably will happen, or the rapture will won. Now, I ain't want to go on the next busload, so don't get that idea. But I'm saying, God moves people out of the way, out of that place he wants Jesus on. If there's somebody on that place in your heart, he'll move them out of the way and put Jesus there.
Right.
It's hard stuff, man. Say, well, I got comfort. What else will I need? I'm glad you asked, man. Look down at verse number 2 down there. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. He said, now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So God's words was his comfort, and now God's words is his counsel to tell him which way to go. If you look over Proverbs chapter 11, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you two sides of a story. We're going to come back to Joshua and nail this thing down real good. Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, you got your place at Proverbs 11? Okay, now hold your place there. Look at Psalm 119. Have it marked. We're going to go to Psalm 119 next. I'll give you two sides of this thing. One of them, and both of them can't be right. Okay? They're both good, but both of them can't be right. So, therefore, one's what?
Wrong.
That right, Arthur Fonzarelli. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. So your counsel's gone, right? Moses is out of the way, right? But watch this. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So, am I to think that if I can get me a bunch of Moseses, then I'll be even better? Do you know there are people right now that depend on a bunch of preachers to tell them what to do? Isn't that crazy? Do you know how independent Baptists are? We are as independent as they come. We won't fall out with you if you don't believe everything we believe, but we will not like you for it. I mean, it's, you know, at least that's what people tell me we like. But I do want to point out to you in the multitude of counselors. So now that Moses is dead, what's Joshua going to do? He's going to have a multitude to replace Moses. That goes to show you, if we look at this verse in the light of Moses dying, that's how much God thinks of Moses. He said, you'll never replace him with one. You'll have to have a multitude to replace him. Is that right? Now look over at Psalm 119. It says, multitude of counselors, right? So if Joshua finds these counselors, he's going to be okay. Now watch verse 24 down here. Psalm 119, verse 24. This whole chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible, is about the Bible. And in verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So, if Joshua were to find that multitude of counselors somewhere, then he'll make it. I'm going to tell you something. When God takes somebody out of your life that's it's your guide, your hero, and all that other stuff, and you have to get to this book and say, oh, God, what do I do now? He's got a multitude to replace the one that left.
Right.
He didn't say the thoughts and ideas. Thy testimonies.
Yeah.
The very words which God gave and the very things that happen to other people can happen for us. I hope none of you ever have to go in the lines then, but I know how God handles lines, so there won't be no trouble. If God intends for you to survive the thing, you will.
Right.
But I want to let you know, you're not the only one that has survived somebody in life, and they died before you, and you're going to make it. They made it. Listen, they made it as far as they did. They on heaven now. Moses made it as far as he is going to go. Now Joshua needs some help because he's got the biggest problem congregation I've ever read about in the Bible, including that of Laodicea. Laodicea don't run 2.5 million people per congregation.
Yeah.
They just all say, we have need of nothing. They're full of materialism.
Yeah.
This crowd over here, oh Lord, smite them hip and thigh would have been my cry for them after a while. Because I do not have the heart of Moses.
Right.
And granted, they weren't a congregation. They're more like a whole nation. I couldn't do Donald Trump's job. Because the second that man told me, we didn't need you to get them boys out of China's jail, I said, put them back then. That'd been it. See, I couldn't be all that. But what I can be is say, Lord, how would you have me handle that? Because my counselor's gone. I need a multitude of counselors according to your word, and now I found them. Make this be a red letter day in your life. This is why you look at the Bible right here, because you need that same multitude of counselors that Joshua needed. I mean, you really do. You can't get by without it. God wrote this book for that reason. You need a multitude of counselors. He's got it all in here. I look down to this thing and I see God's help in Joshua's loss, but also see another joy that he had. If you look back from Joshua chapter 1, we see in those first two verses God's help in his time of loss. But we get down to verse 3 and we see God's help in Joshua's life. What a joy it must have been for him to know that the things that God did with Moses, God said, I'll help you too. And he said, I'm not going to do exactly what I did for him, but I'm going to be with you like I was with him. And the first thing I look at in verse 3 is that God helped in his walk. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He helped his walk. Look at that thing again. Every place that you're going to go, he said, I've given you that. It's kind of funny thing, them Hittites are still over there, wasn't they? It's kind of funny thing, them giants were still over there, you know. He said, go ahead, I've given it to you. So what's he going to do? He's fixing to run off some trespassers here in a minute.
Right.
Because that's what the book of Joshua is about, him running off trespassers on his property. God already gave it to him in chapter 1. The real estate deal just went down right there in verse 3. And now they're trespassing on Joshua's property. I know when we look at this thing, God helps us in our walk because he gives us the Spirit of God. And Romans chapter 8, don't you look at this in a whole new different light in the picture of the book of Joshua here. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And when God said, I'll be with you like I was with Moses over there to Joshua, he'll be with you the same way, and he's going to lead you the same way, and he's already given you all that stuff, and he's got you ready to take it over. Yeah. See, it don't look like it right now. It didn't look like it then either.
Yeah.
But you know what God said? I'm going to do it, though.
Yeah.
But Lord, what about the... Don't worry about them. One swarm of bees, and I'll run them out. I noticed that as he looked down in verse 4 down there, he also helped him in a place that you and I, we venture off into sometimes. It's called the wilderness. And he says this, he says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and of the great sea going down to the sun shall be your coast. He helped him in his walk and he helped him in his wilderness because they're out in the middle of nowhere. There's not a gun store to go buy guns for the army.
Right.
There's not a sword store to go buy them.
Right.
Everything they're going to use, they have to make.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming in with the people with tents and things like that, and they're going into a place that has walled cities. And people up there up top to warn the army to get ready. There's somebody coming. God said, don't worry about it. In fact, you'll read in Joshua chapter 5, they're getting ready to take one of them cities, and he don't know what to do, and he's up there, and he sees a man up there with a sword drawn in his hand. He said, are you for us or for them? And the Lord Jesus Christ turns around and says, nay, but as the captain of the Lord's hosts, the captain shows up for the battle. And when he showed up for the battle, that made all the difference in the world. Because Joshua didn't say, oh, we got this now. No, he bowed down and said, thank you, Lord. And you'll find out that next little chapter, some strange thing happened over there. They marched around that thing, and all of a sudden the walls fell straight down all the way into the earth, and they uncovered that city over there. The archaeologists did and said, it's the strangest looking thing you've ever seen. It appears that some hand done, some force above the top of it, got those walls and pressed them straight into the earth. The city's up here and the walls are down here. We have no explanation of that, they said. I got one for them. He that has the unseen hands put his hands on top of them things, and down the walls went, in spite of everybody saying that was the best fortified city in the world at the time. God can.
Amen.
When I look at something like that, and I look at what he says here about from the wilderness, I mean out in the middle of nowhere, he said from Lebanon even to the great river Euphrates and all the land of the Hittites and all that. He said, I'm even listening. I'm even a God that believes y'all take vacations. I'm going to give you the beach with it too. Is that in your Bible? He said coast, didn't he? That's got to be what that is. That's a beach, ain't it? I hear you spiritual ones talking about you going to the coast. Well, that's the beach. Call it what you will. But I see for a fact there that God's helping Joshua's life. He said, I'm going to take you from this wilderness. And I'm going to put you over here with the milk and honey, and I'm going to give you all this stuff over here. And not only that, I'm going to give you a place to go relax at some too. Now, how's God going to give you a place to relax if he don't give you a place to work first? How's God going to do all that with these fortified cities and all this other stuff? He's going to help Joshua in his wilderness. Think back to the books of Exodus all the way up to Deuteronomy. When you go back and look at what Joshua's role was in those books, you know what his role was? He just backed up Moses and done what he told him.
Right.
They're going to go fight a battle. You know what Moses says? Me and Aaron and Hur are going to stand up here. Go down there and get them, son. Okay. He goes right down there and gets them. You ever wonder what was going through his mind when he'd look up at that hill and they weren't breaking a sweat and they was losing blood down here? And then all of a sudden Moses did this and they started winning. And his arms got tired, and they had to shed some more blood. He'd done this again. They started getting the bad guys then. And then Aaron and Hur started, they set Moses down on that rock up there, and they stood behind each or under each of his arms to keep his arms up. And the Bible said Joshua smote them to the going down of the sun.
Yep.
So who was that victory for? Moses? No, that was for Joshua, because he's going to later have to lead this people, and he's going to have to know God's real to him too.
Amen.
And he realized something. That man told me if I do this, God would take care of this. And you know what? God did.
Yep.
Now God's took that man off that mountain. Now Joshua, you're going to be the man on the mountain. They're going to follow you. Well, wait a minute, Lord. There's still Caleb over here, but I didn't. Caleb's my servant. Listen to this. The Bible says he has another spirit about him. He said, but I'm going to use you to do this. So that's scary stuff. Not if you remember that thing over there when Moses held up his arms, God did it, and so forth like that. Because he had all that stuff leading into this. He wasn't just going in there blind. And he said, from the wilderness. I like when God shows up in the wilderness. Have you ever been lost in the woods before when you was a kid or something? That's one of the scariest feelings in the world. I remember me and one of my cousins got out over there in Antioch over there, and we was out in the middle of nowhere, and he said, by the way, he said, I can't remember the trail to get back to the house. And I thought, I hope he's kidding. I thought, man, we're going to run up on rattlesnakes or polar bears or something out here. This is a creepy place out here. They wasn't houses for no direction. And everyone, we thought, well, I think we can go this way. We'd walk for an hour and never find nothing. I thought, man, surely somebody's built a log cabin and got a telephone somewhere we can call and get some help. They wasn't nowhere to go. When you get out like that and all of a sudden God says, don't worry about it, I'm going to help you. That's your comfort.
Amen.
That's your counsel. That's God helping your time of loss because you lost.
Yeah.
And he's going to help in your life. He's going to help you out in that wilderness to get out of it. Yeah. When you lost like that, you think, what if I never found? In 1,000 years, I'll find a skeleton going like this, and that'll be me. They'll never find me out here. But you got found. When you were drifting out in the wilderness of sin, was what they called Sinai over there. You were lost. An 8-day journey was taking you 40 years to make. You couldn't find your way to the other side. You know what God did? Showed up. I can only imagine how Joshua felt to know that if we start walking right now, 8 days we're in the promised land. But now, wait a minute. Now I'm 40 years older and we're still not there. What's that, God? Oh, you're going to lead me into it now. Scary stuff, ain't it? Because out in the wilderness, listen, there's no traffic lights. There's no zoos. There's no leash law. And things out there will eat you. I know we don't ever think about this, but you know one of the biggest dangers of being in a desert is scorpions. We think we're cool. We get a scorpion tattoo. I'm a Scorpio, you know, and all this other stuff. Do you know that thing will strike you? That it'll strike you quicker than a snake, and you'll die slower from that and die more miserable than a snake bite? Except for me. If a snake bit me, I'd have a heart attack and die on the spot. It'd be instant death. But outside of me, that thing will hit you, and you'll start seeing things and everything else. You'll get a temperature. Your body will start shutting down organ by organ. Oh, there was that to deal with outside of the people. How many would you rather deal with this instead of the people sometime? I mean, this, at least this is over with eventually. But you got to look at that thing. Joshua's going to have to go through all this. He's out in the wilderness. There's no guarantee of his safety. Listen to this. He had no book of Joshua to know it was going to work out like that. You know why? God's going to use him to write it. Imagine your life right now. God's going to take it from here and you're going to write the journal of your life. And it's going to show that you win in the end. Although on this side of it, it don't look like you're winning because it looks like he's having to tell you and encourage you right here on startup because it don't seem like it's going to work out. But he did say from the wilderness. Listen to this word. From the wilderness. God said, where you standing right now, all the way over to Lebanon, I'm going to give you all that. So Lord, when I make that first step, you're going to make the rest. That's exactly right. God's going to take care of the thing. If you're wondering how the Lord reminds us of this all the time, think about the 23rd Psalm. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I looked around in first grade as a little child missing one day. He had went on. Went to the second grade. Another little child died. Third grade, fourth grade, somebody else. All the way through school, people kept dying. But yet we graduated 400 out there at Gaffney High, 400 or something. Big graduating class. Now when we all get together, there's less than 300 of us. What happened to all of them? They went on. The same thing that's happened to people here. They go on. I look back over 23 years and I can't count the funerals. That's not just the ones I preach. I'm talking about the rest of them. Where'd they go? They went somewhere. Their time's over. Their journey's done. Yep. But yet God chose to leave you here. Why did God leave you here? You're not as spiritual as them. There's no way you'll convince me at this point in time Joshua was as spiritual as Moses. He wasn't. But yet God said, I'm going to use you to do this. The Joshua we quote in chapter 24 about as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord was not written by a young man. It was written by a seasoned, weathered servant of God who had been through it. And said, so now that we get to the end of the thing, y'all want to go back out today? No, we're going to serve the Lord. Hey, listen, from the wilderness, he says. And he even says, the great sea of the going down of the sun over there shall be your coast. He not only helped his walk and he helped him out of the wilderness, but he helped his way in verse 5. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He's going to help him out in his life, and he's going to help him with his way, because he said, there shall not be any man to stand against who? Stand before thee. Watch this. All the days of thy life. Joshua, when you get through, you're going to be undefeated. You're going to beat them all. And your descendants, your other cousins and descendants, they're going to face some battles. And I'm going to overcome every one of them. Joshua, if I was God and could talk to you, I'd just let you see a picture of a 10-foot tall man out there holding back an entire army and one little red-headed boy going out there and whooping him. Joshua, that's you. So wait a minute, I thought that was David. It was. Where do you think David got the courage from? He got his counsel from this. Amen. He knew that somehow God was able to take that thing and go to the next place beyond and keep on going even after there was no Moses there. Isn't that something? I wonder if God would help you that way. I think he would. Because he says right there, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. When somebody tells me, well, we've tried that God thing, you've not tried him. Right, he's not a soft drink, you understand. Right. He's God Almighty.
Amen.
He's not somebody that you come along and say, well, I tried to do this and I tried to do that and it just didn't work out for me like it did you. That ain't what this is. He's not a diet plan. Oh, I'm sorry, I said that a month too early. I'm sorry. I'll preach against them next month. But I know this, when he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, I knew one thing right there by reading that. I can go through all these chapters of Joshua, every verse and every word, know this, God was there with him the whole way because he said he would be.
That's right.
Now here's something for you to consider. Old Testament, man gets saved. He asks God, listen, he comes to the Lord and saved, right? But he's not spirit-filled and he's not spirit-indwelt all the time. The Spirit of God leaves him and comes back. That's why people think we can lose our salvation, because they go to the Old Testament and see that. They forget this. Those people had eternal life too. They just had the Spirit abiding with them the whole time. But he did. Now ain't that something? Here's why. If you write this name Joshua, take its Hebrew word, and you write it in New Testament Greek, and then translate that word, you can get the name Jesus. Because this man's name means God is salvation. He's a type of Christ. And in the fact that God says, listen, I will be with thee. Hey, however he done, listen, with Joshua, he'll do with the born-again believer, because we have Christ. We're permanently indwelt by the Spirit of God. Though sometimes we may quench him and we may get out of fellowship with God, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. You say, hey, you know that because I got the New Testament Joshua on that. You know what he says? He says it like this. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
His name means God is salvation.
Amen.
Ain't that something?
Right.
I look at this thing over here with Joshua and about how he got helped by the Lord, because of the simple fact of not God's power so much, but God's presence with him. You don't find a time when Joshua was without the Lord. You can find that in David's life, but you can't find it with him. And I'll tell you another person you can't find again. My dear born-again believer, in your life you can't find it without him.
Right.
God said, I'll save you, and he saved you. He said, I'll be with you until the end of the world. He's going to be with you. He said, I've sealed you until the day of redemption. You're sealed. You don't break the seal. God's got this all under control.
Right.
Ain't you glad today to know that whatever thing you've got to go through, God's going to be there to go with it through you?
Amen.
Now listen to this. One day you're going to have to face something. You know what that is? Something bad. You know what? God says, I'll face it with you.
Amen.
Whatever it is, I'll take it. How many friends you got like that? I'll go ahead and tell you. You think you got some, but you let the chips fall and the money go away. you realize you got one friend.
Right.
And the Bible says of that friend, he sticketh closer than a brother.
Yeah.
Here's the good part about God. He said, I'll take you for what you are, make you into what you should be in my son Jesus Christ. Oh, and I'll be with you the whole journey. Say, so you tried God and that didn't work out. You didn't try this God. You ain't been on old ship of Zion yet, I don't think.
Right.
You haven't been singing victory in Jesus with him, I know that.
Right.
Because the victory he gives, it may look like you're gonna lose, but you always come out on top.
Amen.
Why is that? Is it because you're something? No, it's because he's something.
Amen.
It's because you have Jesus Christ and he'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
The day you got saved, I'll tell you what happened to you. You trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his shed blood to wash away your sins. Now you'll never have to go to hell. But that wasn't where God ended the journey at. The journey ends when you walk into heaven. Between that point and that point, you know what God's got? Everything. He's got it taken care of. Say, but if there's a God, why do I suffer? Because there's sin and suffering and death in the world. And you're not exempt. And for people who would sit back and say, well, why does God make me do that? Well, I got a question for you. Why not you? Why not you? Why do you have to go through financial hardships? Why do you have to go through physical pain? Why do you got to go through all these trials? Why not you? You ain't as faithful as Joshua. Why not you? You think God works on the punishment and grace system like that? Why not you then? If you think God works that way, you are probably the sorriest one God knows. And if he puts you through it, then he puts you through it. That's your terms. You know what God's terms is? I see you over here and I want you over here and I'm going to get you over here. See, there's a verse you need. It's Romans chapter 8. There's a verse you need to understand in your Bible. God has this thing sewed together. That when he wrote Joshua, he wrote it with Romans chapter 8 in mind. How about that? You think God's that smart? I do. If you look down in verse number 28, Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now you know why it's happening. Verse 29, here's the other part of the reason. This is the detail part. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And then whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's God's explanation for what you're going through right there. He's working. But get this. Verse 36, here you are again. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So yeah, God's putting me through it. Verse 37, nay, negative. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors. What's the book of Joshua about again? Conquest. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, Paul went through that. He got stoned to death, went up to the third heaven. They sent him back. That's what them people write in books saying.
Yeah.
He said that neither death, they left him for dead. That's what that was. Nor life. That's how bad life can get too. It can get good and it can get bad. Nor angels, nor principalities. That's the Obamas and the Clintons.
Well,
say it ain't so. I dare you. But don't say their names with it. You might wind up with the worst case of 30 shots to the head suicide you've ever had.
Yeah.
Nor powers, nor things present. Now watch this one. Nor things to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh my goodness. You mean God wrote Joshua with this in mind? Sure. You remember this book was written before this planet was here, this written, settled forever in heaven. So when Joshua was written, Romans 8, in view of that thing, you know what that tells me? God had it all under control, every bit of it. And he finally lets Paul in on it over here in the New Testament, write this down. And can you imagine Paul being a Jew, knowing the book of Joshua, writing this down and saying, I get it. That's why they had to do this. This is why that worked out the way. That's why God showed up when he did. It all makes sense now. Does it make sense to you? Hey, listen, these are joys. He didn't say, Joshua, life's going to be easy now that Moses is gone. I'm going to take you from here and give you all this. No, they had to conquer things. And God's got things set in your life that you're going to conquer, and God is salvation person in your life, which is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. See, you were following another person. Now they're out of the way. Now we get to follow Jesus. Now we get to follow him. You willing to follow him today? I'm troubled at Baptists. You know what Baptists do? They say this. Well, I don't have to go down to that altar and pray. Look here, watch this. I don't have to go down to that altar and pray. I pray right here. I pray at the house. Oh, bless your heart. Won't you bring some of that up here if you got all that on you and give it to us?
Come on.
Because I know I need it.
Yeah.
We the only people can strut sitting down, I promise you that.
Come on.
We so full of pride it's sick.
Right.
But what I can't understand about Baptists is God bring the goods to you, and what you do with them, you leave them sitting outside the door. Well, this is my package, whether it's in the house or not. Tell that to that raccoon when he gets it. Oh, I got your problem solved. We ain't got no raccoons. I saw one the other day had to go 25 pounds in my backyard. I live in the city. We not supposed to have that up there. And it made me so mad. I drove down the road and there was four deer standing out there at that West End Baptist Church. I said, you ain't supposed to be here either. But they kind of know, don't they? They know where the gun-free zones are. I'm telling you, answer your mail. Let God take care of this. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.